Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindemann, being joined, as always, by your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up, folks? It's me.
And today is actually Wednesday, September 23rd. It is not Saturday.
Yeah, it's weird not recording on a Saturday.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool, though, at the same time, because we're able to do a bit more frequent episodes here or there.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Clash of Champions, which will be this Sunday. Yes, we do understand that certain things could change going into Friday SmackDown.
SmackDown, yeah.
But it looks like almost everything is shored up in regards to all the titles being defended, so we may not actually have that many changes going into Sunday. But first, we're going to start off with news and notes. Ben, where would we like to start on this? Do we want to start AEW? Do we want to start Ring of Honor? Let's start with Ring of Honor, because I know the Pure titles are Pure tournaments going on right now.
Yeah. So Ring of Honor finally started putting out the TV that they recorded recently, and it's a 16-man tournament for the Pure title, and it has every match is 15 minutes. You only get 3 rope breaks. If you use a balled fist more than once, you are disqualified. It's very much sort of rooting things back in wrestling. And they've had 2 episodes of it come out now. The first episode was Jonathan Gresham against Wheelie Utah and Dalton Castle against Jay Lethal. And then the second episode was Matt Sydal against Delirious and what was the other one? Come on, Brain. And another match. Oh, Rocky Romero and David Finlay. And all 4 matches so far have been really, really good. And very much to, if you'll pardon the pun, pure wrestling, it's been very, very interesting to watch. It's something very different to what the other companies are putting on right now, and I highly recommend checking it out. The one thing I will say, though, as much as I usually really enjoy Quinn McKay and her backstage style, the first 10-15 minutes of the show, because it's an hour show, right? It's only an hour.
Right.
So the first 15-20 minutes of the show is recapping the last episode and introducing this episode. So you can just kind of skip that and just get straight to the wrestling is what I would do. But that's because I already know the people involved. If you don't know the characters involved in their stories, it's probably very, very interesting, but it's all stuff I already knew. So,
right. So that was Ring of Honor news right there. Next, we're going to go into AEW. First thing that was we found out was that the parking lot brawl between the Best Friends and Proud and Powerful got the first 5-star match rating from Uncle Dave for AEW.
Yeah. Not sure it was a 5-star match personally, but my thoughts on Uncle Dave's ratings are that who gives a crap? Quite honestly, and that's not necessarily a shot at saying Uncle Dave, it's just saying that different people like different things.
Yep. And of course,
really bugged me about this, right? Is it wasn't promoted as a parking lot brawl, it was promoted as a parking lot fight, because they can't promote something the same way that WWE would, because they're AEW and they won't let themselves do that. Even though a parking lot brawl is an established match type, it's just go with it, guys.
Yeah, and not only that, but the one thing that was touted about this match, that it was all filmed in one take, and the only editing was to take out swears.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but apparently there was a lot of stuff that came out afterwards, like the finish with Orange Cassidy coming out of the trunk. That was apparently a planned finish a long time ago, because like before the pandemic, there was a plan to do this match. But it was supposed to, I think, be the Lucha Bros versus Proud and Powerful or something. And they actually originally always had something planned with Orange Cassidy to come out of a trunk of a car as part of the finish. And it was
Then it wouldn't be Lucha Bros against...
They changed it from Lucha Bros to Best Friends because Proud and Powerful wanted it to be with Best Friends instead of Lucha Bros.
Right, but if it was Proud and Powerful and Lucha Brothers, it wouldn't be Orange Cassidy coming out of the trunk, because there's no point of Orange Cassidy coming out of the trunk.
Yeah.
But they were setting up Lucha Brothers against Best Friends for a while.
Yeah.
And that didn't really go anywhere. So that might be what you were thinking.
Probably, yeah. Or, yeah, whatever.
Rather than it being Lucha Brothers and Proud and Powerful.
Yeah, I think what it might have been is that they were originally going to do a Proud and Powerful Lucha Bros feud, but then changed to the Lucha Bros Best Friends, but then the pandemic hit and it became Proud and Powerful Best Friends.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, like, a lot of things can change in so little time. But Matt Hardy addressed the AEW crowd for the first time since All Out. He has made it known that he is going to, I guess, take time off to heal, because he is banged up from that match. And he's going to set his sights on the AEW title.
Yeah, right. No offense to Matt, but they're not putting that belt on him.
No. If anything, and I like Matt Hardy, don't get me wrong, but the only title I can conceivably see him getting is the TNT title.
Just wait till they bring in the six-man belts.
The six-man.
Because it will happen. Of course they're going to bring in six-man belts. Their histories are rooted in New Japan, where there are two sets of six-man belts, and
Ring of Honor.
NWA, where there were six-man belts, and Ring of Honor, where there are six-man belts. There's going to be a six-man belt title for that's why you're seeing factions like Death Triangle or Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, or why a lot of factions are three people strong, right?
Yep. SCU, the Elite.
Yeah. you're bound to see six-man titles eventually.
Yeah.
Speaking of Matt Hardy, it's his birthday, isn't it, today?
Don't know. Let's take a look. Matt Hardy. No. Hold on. Sec. His birthday is... Yes, his birthday is actually today. So happy birthday, Matt Hardy.
Happy birthday, Matt Hardy.
Turns 46, I believe. Yep, 46 years
old.
Something
like that.
Yep, no, 46 years old. Born in 1974. Yeah. And Jeff actually turned 43 back at the end of August. So.
Yeah.
Any other AEW news that we can think of real quick?
There's plenty of stuff we could talk about with AEW, but it's just going to devolve into me ranting.
Just the stereotypical fanboy shitting on WWE stuff.
It's not even that. It's just things like... I would go into the ratings again, and I'd go into, and I'm not saying he doesn't have a Hispanic history, but it's certainly weird seeing Cody all over the National Hispanic posters, the National Hispanic Heritage Month posters. Like I said, he does have Hispanic heritage, but it just looks weird. I'd rant about the fact that Proud and Powerful haven't even had one AEW title shot yet, or just I'd go off about BTE, or just
angry things. But I guess that would be a good segue into WWE, and we actually just talked about Matt, so we could talk about Jeff real quick.
Okay. Where
Jeff has actually signed a, what is being reported as a 2 or 3 year contract extension to WWE. And part of the deal is that when they are able to return in front of fans physically, he'll be using the music No More Words, which he used from 2008 to 2009. Because he wants to have that music back, and he wants it to actually mean something. And by having fans in the crowd, it would actually mean something more to Jeff. That's in Jeff's words. So
I don't know this music.
He used it from 2008 to 2009 during his during the previous run before he left for TNA again and had all the legal issues.
Okay.
And he used that music when he was feuding with CM Punk, and he won the WWE title off of Edge the first time, and when he went into the feud with Matt Hardy going into WrestleMania.
I think it's a really stupid idea, but okay.
Well, he also said that, like, when you listen to the Hardy Boys music, like, which is what he's still coming out to today, people think of the Hardy Boys as a tag team. And that's how he views the music. He views the music as his and Matt's music, not just his music. Kind of like how Matt Hardy had Monster Magnet do his music when he went solo. Because he used the song
for
the
moment. But what I'm not talking about, he should be still be using the Hardy Boys music. I just think it is a mistake for Jeff to use music that takes him. How do I put this delicately? Reminds fans of a time when he was a little less sober.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me being honest.
No, and that's a fair sentiment, but I think when it also, I think it's just...
He wants new music. Get new music. Write a new tune for himself or whatever. I don't care. Just don't... Because I'm sure I'll recognize the song when I hear it, right? And I will be reminded of the guy that left WWE to go to TNA to stumble down an aisle drugged out of his nut. Right? Like...
Yeah. But the big thing is that he actually re-signed a 2 to 3 year deal to be with WWE, which probably means he's going to end his career in WWE, unlike Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people obviously wanted Jeff to go to AEW so they could do the Hardy Boys in AEW, but with this contract, it looks like that's not going to happen now. Which is fine. They don't Yeah, they don't have to end their careers together. They really don't. They can end their careers in two different promotions.
I've been over the Hardy Boys both together and apart for a while now.
Yeah.
I do genuinely wish they would both have retired already. Because every time I see them walk, I feel like they look like they're in as much pain as Mick Foley, right? Like, they do not look good.
Yeah, and being how Jeff is 43 and Matt's now 46,
yeah,
you know, they're getting. I mean, I don't want to say the words. They're getting up there, but they're getting up there a little bit. This morning we had some sad news come out. That Joe Laurinaitis, also known as Road Warrior Animal, has passed away at the age of 60. It was actually broken earlier this morning, I think around 8:30 in the morning, when Tommy Dreamer tweeted about it. And then around 8:45-ish, Joe Laurinaitis' family tweeted on his Twitter account announcing that he has passed away. So that kind of broke this morning when we woke up. Any Road Warrior stories, memories, stuff like that? Because my memories are more of him with Heidenreich, to be brutally honest.
I do have a lot of stuff, but I would just say I was never the biggest fan of the Rogue Warriors, but this sucks.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, my only real memories of the Rogue Warriors was Animal with Heidenreich. So. But yeah, that definitely sucks. Definitely thoughts to Joe's family. And all right, Ben. I know you want to sound off on this. Retribution. So before Ben sounds off, we'll just put it out there. They did the big reveal this past Monday. They stated that the key five members of Retribution, which as of this time is Mia Yim, Dio Madden, Dominic Dijakovic, Mercedes Martinez, and Shane Thorne, have been signed to WWE contracts. However, the secondary Retribution members are still around as to give them a numbers advantage at all times. However, when they went into the main event match with Hurt Business, Dijakovic is now going by T-Bar, Madden is going by Mace, and Thorne is going by Slapjack. Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez have both not been given new names yet. And of course, some of the backstage reaction to Retribution was to laughter and to also feeling bad for them, feeling that they that you have these five talents who are coming in and essentially now have this massive uphill battle to be taken seriously after having the goofy ass names that they have and the look that they have with the Bane-esque and Mad Max X Max and stuff like that. So.
Right. I get to sound off now, right?
Yep.
Fuck this angle on every level. Every level. It is quite clear, quite abundantly clear. They had no idea what they were doing when this thing started. And they've been making it up as they go along. They hadn't. Then you could be saying that about WWE booking for the last like 6 years. Because Vince rewrites the scripts every Monday, like an hour before the show. It's at this point, it's impossible to ignore how detrimental that is to the company. Just to fuck this angle on every conceivable level. What was wrong with them just being Dominic Dijakovic, Mia Yim, Shane Thorne, Dio Madden, and Mercedes Martinez? Why do they need, like, the last time anyone in the company had names like this was the Disciples of the Apocalypse, with like Skull and Eight Ball. It didn't even work then. Like, just it. I want nothing more than for the five people in that group to have these weights around their neck and succeed anyway. Right, I want nothing more than that, right? But it ain't gonna happen, right? It just... Just... I know I often say my catchphrase is, who books this shit, right? But who books this shit? Like, who looked at this and went, yeah, that's a good idea? Who looked at Mia Yim's mask and went, yeah, that's a good idea? Because A, it doesn't hide who she is at all. And B, it's falling off 90% of the time.
Yeah, I felt bad for her. Like, she's trying to cut that promo. She's constantly trying to fix her mask when cutting that promo. It was just, that was bad.
It just, and you've even got, like, Shelton Benjamin on Twitter tweeting, I told you Mia Yim was a scumbag, right? Just refer to her as me and him. Like, not one person on that commentary booth went, hang on a minute, that's Dio Madden. Guess that encounter with Brock Lesnar really changed him. Right? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, that's your former colleague at the booth. Well, actually, technically speaking, only one person at that booth would have recognized that it was Dio Madden. And but that should have been Jerry the King Lawler.
Should have recognized it.
Yeah, because Vic Joseph isn't doing Raw anymore.
But they still should have recognized it was Dio Madden.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah.
The dude has been on Raw. Right? Like,
I mean, the only person that you can...
Like Dijakovic and Mia Yim and all that aren't as recognizable because they've not been on Raw as much, right? But Dio Madden was on Raw every week for like 4 months.
Yeah. And not only that, but for Dijakovic, you could tell that he kind of altered his look a bit.
Yeah.
To make himself a little bit more unrecognizable, plus the fact that they're actually still distorting his voice to an extent. Like, yeah, we know it's Dominic Dijakovic, but for somebody who never watched NXT or anything else that he was in, you know, doesn't know who Dominic Dijakovic is. And then Shane Thorne is still an unknown because he's behind the full like hockey mask look.
It looks like a paper plate.
Yeah, and but they're still saying that they're not completely sold on the idea of Shane Thorne being the fifth member and that they could still change it over to The Miz. Which I don't know how that would make any sense to have The Miz be in Retribution.
They've teased that he's the leader of Retribution before.
Really?
Yeah. With when there was the one episode where Retribution invaded SmackDown, and then all the SmackDown superstars came out.
The Miz ran down later. Yeah.
They've teased little things like that before, so.
Yes. We'll see where it goes. I mean, yeah, I want them to succeed, but man, with those names and those masks, just it was almost in a way like kind of like Shield 2.0 with the way they're addressed in a way with the old.
It actually reminds me of when the Shield were ready. They were originally going to debut.
Vince, they were like the turtlenecks.
No, they bought them riot shields with Shield written on the front, right? And they were supposed to carry these riot shields to the ring. And the three of them looked at it and went, nah. Like, and it is only by the grace of Vince changing his mind at the last second that they didn't get saddled with something stupid like riot shields. Oh. And I was just thinking that. I don't know.
Oh, I remember when they debuted the Shield. They also were wearing like those turtleneck like sweaters or long sleeves. Oh,
they were just doing the tactical.
But they were like able to like change away. They were able to change away from that as quickly as possible, like the next night on Raw, because they're like, no, we like these vest ideas better. So.
And they just.
But you're also, when we were talking last night about this, you're also talking about Hurt Business in general.
Oh, right, yeah. This. So they've spent months building this faction, the Hurt Business, right? They spent months building the Hurt Business. Why would you then take the faction you have spent months building and run it face first into Retribution right out of the gate, right? It doesn't make sense. That's like, you should be keeping those two fairly far apart because they're the two new hot things on the show, and that they should collide later, right? You shouldn't be hitting each other fresh out of the box. Just it's a no-win situation, because if if Retribution win, you kill the company, you kill the Hurt Business's momentum, right? If Hurt Business win, it's Nexus all over again.
Yeah, and not only that, but like, I mean, I think they did the smart thing by having like the disqualification for Monday Night Raw. That way, nobody, you know, it protected the Hurt Business in a way because of that. It's like, yeah, Hurt Business got the win, but there was no pin involved, so it didn't hurt Retribution at the same time because Dijakovic attacked them, which caused the disqualification. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this is something that ended up hurting Retribution, at least in my eyes, which was how Raw ended, which was you had all the secondary members of Retribution run out to attack Hurt Business, to which then Drew McIntyre leaped out the Raw locker room to take out them. But what's the last image that you saw on Raw? Yeah. It wasn't Retribution being run off. It was Randy Orton standing over Drew McIntyre, and Randy Orton did not take part of the chasing off of Retribution. He just came out and hit the RKO. And it's like, you and I were talking about this as well last night. It's like, when you look at it, when Retribution, before they became Raw only, and they're also on SmackDown, you had the thing where AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy came out and fought off Retribution. And at the same time, AJ Styles took advantage of Jeff Hardy having his back turned to him because they're facing off against each other later that night for the IC title. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't they do almost kind of something similar? You know, in a way, because it's like that way you don't hurt Retribution by going like, oh, well, Randy Orton just slipped in and just took out Drew McIntyre. It's like, no, Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton worked together to take out Retribution. But then Randy Orton reminded Drew McIntyre, hey, I got you this Sunday in that ambulance match.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way you tell that story. And that's one of the things that kind of hurt Retribution on Monday night, was just that ending to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's almost as if they're trying to get rid of Retribution before anything gets started with it. You know,
even though booking is saying that, or the reports are saying that they're being booked up to Survivor Series to take on like a Team WWE versus Team Retribution type deal.
Yeah, it's just going to be a whole Nexus thing over again, isn't it?
Probably, but not as well done like the way Nexus was. Well, beginning phase of Nexus.
And then they got John Cena.
Yeah.
Lol.
So, which, I mean, this is a good way to segue into Clash of Champions.
Is there a good way to segue into Clash of Champions?
We find our ways, Ben. We find our ways.
Okay. On the web for, is there a good way to say going to Clash of Champions?
Check it out. Siri.
So for Clash of Champions, it's taking place this Sunday. We got 9 matches on the card. On the pre-show, you're going to have the Raw Women's Championship defended as Asuka will take on Zelina Vega, who became number one contender this past Monday on Raw. You will have an ambulance match for the WWE Championship between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. Singles match for the WWE Universal Championship between Roman Reigns, who will have Paul Heyman in his corner, versus Jey Uso. Singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Nikki Cross. The women's tag team titles will be on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will defend against the Riot Squad. Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura will defend against Lucha House Party. Which two members of the group they will be facing, we do not know yet at this time. You'll have a triple threat ladder match for the Intercontinental title between Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn. The Street Profits will be defending against Andrade and Angel Garza. And then in the final...
That feud.
Yeah, and then in the final match that is on the card, you have the United States title as Bobby Lashley takes on Apollo Crews. And I can tell you right now, here's my prediction, that's the match that doesn't happen because of the Hurt Business Retribution stuff from Monday night.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And then they'll probably do something for the 24/7 title somewhere just so they could say every title was up for grabs at the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, I think everyone can agree the 24/7 title is kind of worthless.
Yeah, it's pointless. It's been pointless for a while. Yeah. Ever since they refused to let it get more than 10 feet from R-Truth, it's been completely useless.
Yeah. So, you know, Ben, we haven't done predictions in a long time.
Yep. Do you want to do predictions?
I think we should do predictions. All right. Yeah. All right, we'll start with the pre-show, and we'll just work our way down the card as it's listed on Wikipedia. Asuka versus Zelina Vega.
Well, you've got the incredibly popular, super talented, just beat the golden role models to get her title back, Asuka versus a manager. So I think Jordynne Grace is going to win that one.
All right. Sounds good. Jordynne Grace. I'm going with Asuka to retain over Zelina Vega. The ambulance match for the WWE title, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton.
Well, you've got Drew McIntyre, who has been kind of, since WrestleMania, embraced as the face of the company. He's been... a lot of trust has been put in him, and he's had, frankly, some very, very, very good matches. And he's going up against Randy Orton, who's in the heel form of his career, let's be honest. Ever since the start of the stuff with Edge back at WrestleMania, he's been kind of... He's been giving a crap again. So he's actually been trying. But I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't care about this feud. I haven't cared about this feud ever since it began. I would much rather Drew be feuding with people that are... I'd much rather Drew would be feuding with people who are less established so that they could build them up.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't need to feud with a Randy Orton or a Seth Rollins. He needs to feud with like a Cesaro I don't think he needs to feud with a Keith Lee, because Keith Lee's a face and so is he.
Yeah.
Or just not people you wouldn't expect to be in the world title picture. You know what I mean? That's what I would do. As such, what's your prediction?
If the way that things are looking in regards to like the reports, it sounds like this is the opportunity to take the title off of Drew in a way that he doesn't get pinned. So it makes him, and I'm using air quotes here, makes him still look strong.
Yeah, that's not right, but okay.
Yeah, that's why I did the air quotes. Personally, I'd like to see Drew retain, but I think they're going to put it on Orton and make Drew chase it again, so he ends up winning the title back in front of a crowd. So, I don't want Drew to lose, but I think he is. I think Orton's getting it. I hope I'm wrong, though. Next up, you got Roman versus Jey Uso.
As for me, my prediction is I think this plastic spoon is going to win this match. In case you haven't guessed, I'm not taking this very seriously because I don't give a fuck about any of these matches.
Fair. Next up, you got Roman versus Jey Uso for the Universal title. I'm guessing you have Brock Lesnar just coming in and yeeting both of them into the sun.
Nah. Of the matches on the card, there are two that I actually do kind of care about, and this is one of them. This is Roman's first actual defense as a heel champion, right? But they've been doing this super weird thing on SmackDown where he's not been acting like a heel towards Jay, right? And it's not been working, right? It would have been much better if he'd just been dead ass the whole way, right? But I'm interested to see how this one goes. Here's what this match needs to be, is this match needs to be 15 minutes of Roman Reigns destroying Jey Uso. Like, break every bone in his body in alphabetical order twice. Right? You know what I'm saying? It needs to be a complete demolition to show that Roman doesn't care about his family anymore. Right? It needs to be an utter and complete floor wipe. But I doubt it will be that.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to find a way to make Jay look strong as a singles competitor, because he's always been viewed as a tag team competitor. But I agree with you in the sense that Roman needs to, like, destroy Jay to really build up that heel heat on himself. Because it's like, dude, you just destroyed your family right there. What the hell is wrong with you? And he goes, fuck him. You know, but Roman's going to win. They're not going to put the title on Jey Uso. That'd be some fluky ass shit if they put the title on Jey Uso. Nothing against Jey, but
yeah,
but it's Roman. Bayley versus Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's title. I'm going to pose this one with a question first. Which feud needs a title more, Bayley versus Sasha or Alexa versus Nikki?
Alexa, Nikki.
I'm hoping, this is my prediction, I'm hoping that Nikki wins tonight.
I am too.
Or not tonight, Sunday night.
I super hope that. I'm incredibly biased there because I love me some Nikki Cross. I've been a fan of her since England. Right. Also, I think there's going to be two sets of interference. I think we're going to see Alexa get involved, and I think we're going to see Sasha get involved. Even if Sasha is still in the neck brace and looking stupid, but I think she'll, like, show up or something. Or what might be very interesting is if Alexa is ringside and everyone's expecting her to interfere, but she doesn't. And then Sasha shows up, does the whole stand at the top of the ramp, Bayley gets rolled up, Nikki wins, and then Alexa attacks Nikki. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be really interesting. But I don't know. All I'm going to say is what I always say when Bayley's involved in a match, and that her theme is a low-key banger. I have hopes for this match, but I don't care. The only interesting thing in the women's division right now is Alexa, and they're not fast-tracking that quick enough for it. And I quite like that they're not fast-tracking it. They're letting it play out, let it be a slow burn. And I quite like that.
Yeah.
Something that WWE doesn't do enough.
Yeah, and actually, you can kind of thank Roman Reigns for coming back for that in a way.
Because, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, well, because what happened, remember how, like, we were talking about SummerSlam, like, why didn't they use Alexa at all?
No. But what I'm saying is they could have gone, like, full Harley Quinn, like, the day after.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like, playing it out after.
Well, part of the thing is that, like, there were plans to use her at SummerSlam. There were plans to use her more at Payback. But because Roman came back, it kind of pushed things back a bit. So
I don't think that's necessarily the case, because the build up to SummerSlam, the only thing that they didn't do is feature her in the match, right? Yeah. As she was shown during the Payback match, I'm saying that they could have gone full Freakazoid the day after Payback, right? But they're not. They're still spacing it out a little while. It's been weeks at this point, and it's a really nice slow burn, and it's something that WWE doesn't do enough.
Yeah,
it's actually quite. It's that simple. It's that simple A to B to C to D storytelling that WWE doesn't do enough of because of Vince's
indecisiveness.
That's the word I'm looking for. Rage boner for ripping up scripts. All too often, WWE storytelling is, as I said yesterday, A to John fucking Madden, which squiggles all over the screen with a teleprompter. Whereas the Alexa storyline has been this very nice A to B to C to D, this very nice progression, and it's something WWE don't do enough now. They're actually putting thought into Alexa's story, and it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Next up, you get Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus the Riot Squad.
Couldn't care less
for the women's tag team titles.
The only thing I care about this match is Shayna Baszler's in it. And as soon as she gets away from the tag team titles, means the sooner we can have like a 9-match epic series between Shayna and Asuka over the Raw Women's Champion in like a 17 stages of hell match where they just knock 7 barrels of shit out of each other. And it will be amazing.
I'm personally rooting for the Riot Squad. For the same reason as you, it would get Shayna Baszler out of the tag team picture. Obviously, once those two lose the titles, I could see them feuding for a little bit before hopefully Shayna Baszler goes on to take on Asuka. So I'm rooting for Riot Squad to get.
What I really want to happen here, right, is like about 10 minutes into the match, you've got Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. They've been taking an absolute battering from Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, and they just sort of like motion to the back, and literally every other person in the locker room comes out with a shotgun and shoots Nia Jax, puts her on top of a fire, and gets her out of my WWE. And Shane is just like, well, I'm alone now, so I don't deserve the tag team titles, and just lays down.
What the fuck?
What?
It's so dark so fast.
Yes, I'm not wishing death on Nia Jax, people. She's the wrestling equivalent of a massive pile of shit that you take after, like, if you've ever been on a long road trip, and on that long road trip you get really, really hungry, and you think for some reason you get the idea, man, I could really go for Taco Bell. And then you eat like 15 Taco Bell tacos and like 6 burritos, and you buy a bunch of quesadillas, and they sit in the back of the car for a while and they get lukewarm, and like the cheese might go off a little bit, but you eat them anyway. And then like you finish it off with some of those like cinnamon twists, and then like 20 minutes later you just like feel your guts ready to explode. And then when you actually do take a poop, like you crack the toilet in half and it's like leaking out a bit because it's all liquid, but yeah, it's a pile of liquid because like you've eaten way too much really shitty Taco Bell, and there's like the poop equivalent of Mount Everest, and you're like perched on top of it. Yeah, that's Nia Jax. You're right, Mike.
Yeah. And to anyone who's listening to Awesome Asia for the first time, welcome to the show. Next up, you have the SmackDown Tag Team titles of Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defending against Lucha House Party. We don't know which two of the three members are going to be fighting on behalf of Lucha House Party. I hope it's Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado.
I think it will be Kalisto and Lince, because I think we're pushing towards the breakup of Lucha House Party.
Yeah, I mean, you could have it be where it's Kalisto with Lince, or even Grand Metalik with Lince, and then have Kalisto cross the outside.
Because Kalisto and Lince are the two that are having the problems, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where it makes most sense to, like... Like, the idea is if we put them into there together and they win together, they'll be best friends again. But yeah, then they're just going to lose, and then it's just going to spiral out of control.
Yeah. And the interesting thing would be to see where Grand Metalik goes from there. But yeah, I hope Shin and Cesaro win. They keep the titles.
My prediction is that the Undisputed Era are going to win that match.
Okay. I'm okay with Undisputed Era. Are we talking about a Kyle O'Reilly-Bobby Fish tag team?
No, it will be Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, because Kyle O'Reilly is going to win the Gauntlet Eliminator match and then go on to beat Finn Balor for the NXT title. And so he can play the NXT title to the ring like an air guitar.
I'm okay with this. I am 100% okay with this.
Me too.
Speaking about coming down to the ring, we have a triple threat ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn to determine, in Sami Zayn's eyes, who the real Intercontinental Champion is.
This is the only other match on the card that I actually care about, because it's got two of my three favorites in it. Like, and Jeff Hardy, who's used to be a favorite of mine.
Right.
I am very scared that Jeff is going to do something very stupid off the top of a ladder and fuck it up, much like his brother did. All out. But if you'd asked me, like, 2, 3, 4 years ago, this would have been a dream match. These three. And I have wanted an AJ Styles, Sami Zayn program since they were both in the same company. And I just want the WWE to put the two of them in a ring and go do a wrestle for 20 minutes. No holds barred. Just go steal the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got a triple threat ladder match. God, I want Sami Zayn to win so bad.
I could actually see.
I see Jeff winning, but I want Sami to win so bad.
So here's the thing. I could see Jeff winning too. But from a booking perspective, I could see. Nah, that wouldn't work, actually, because they're trying to book Jeff Strong so they can lead him to at least one more title run.
If they put him anywhere near the world title, I'm done.
Oh, it's going to happen. That's what they're building for towards with Jeff, to give him that one last run before he actually retires. When they do it, I don't know, but I can kind of see the writing on the wall, like the way when they booked that whole Sheamus Jeff Hardy feud.
Yeah.
That's what they're essentially were starting the build up to. And then Jeff winning the IC title as that next step, you know, yeah. So like they're doing, it's like a slow build, like with what they're doing with Alexa Bliss. It's a slow build for Jeff. But honestly, I'd really like to see AJ Styles win, but have it be one of those parts where like, it's Sammy and AJ on the ladder. Like, they're the last two on the ladder. Like, they took out Jeff. They did a work angle to take out Jeff completely from the match. And it's just the two of them. And they had, like, a fight, and then, like, on top of the ladder, and AJ gets it. He wins the match, and it just makes Sammy go nuts. And then that's where you build into the Sammy versus AJ Styles feud for the IC title. I would like to really see that. But I realistically see Jeff winning, but I think it would be better if AJ won, especially with Sammy so close to the title himself, just to
spin out into an AJ just style Sami Zayn feud over the IC belt. And I think it would be better if Sammy was the champion, because it just reinforces everything he's been saying for the last 6 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's the real IC title champion. Yeah,
I think that would be the best way to do it.
Next up, we have the Raw Tag Team title match. Don't care. I'm tired of...
For sake, kill this feud.
Yeah, like...
Kill it dead. It's boring. It was never interesting. Not once. Not even when Austin Theory was fucking involved. Get it gone. Fuck off. I'm done. Get rid of it. Ah!
Pretty much, yeah. We don't need to say any more about it. And then we have the United States title match, Bobby Lashley versus Apollo Crews. I see this ending in a no contest because Retribution's going to get involved.
Yeah, probably.
Because of the storytelling that's going on right now. So, like, I don't mind the Apollo Crews-Bobby Lashley feud.
Not me either.
Like, I don't mind it at all because it's helping Hurt Business. But at the same time, it's like, we know where this is going to go.
What might be really interesting is if partway through the match, Retribution run down and start laying into everybody at the ringside, and Hurt Business and Apollo Crews and Ricochet have to team up to fight off
Retribution. That would be interesting.
And they look at each other like,
did we this guy
best friends?
Yeah. That would be interesting. I think that could also work too in a way, because you know that Ricochet is going to be in Apollo's corner, and you know that at least MVP is going to be in Bobby Lashley's corner, just to even up the numbers for those guys. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where we go from there. So that is Clash of Champions. It is this Sunday. I don't anticipate any changes to this card.
Yeah. The only thing that could possibly be a change is if something happens on SmackDown and someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Or storyline hurt.
Yeah, and the only matches that can get affected is the Universal title, the SmackDown Women's title, the SmackDown Tag titles, and the Triple Threat ladder match. So you only got four matches that can be affected.
Maybe you'll... I don't know how they're going to play the Sasha Banks thing, because she's supposed to appear on SmackDown on Friday, right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're going to clear the... Ha! I've actually been cleared, and they're going to add her to the title, the women's title match. But...
I don't see that happening. I think they're going to go with the one-on-one between Bayley and Nikki. I mean, the only thing that may get clarified going into Sunday off of Friday is which two members of Lucha House Party is going to take on Shinsuke and Cesaro. That's the only thing I legitimately see. And then at the same time, the only add-on we could potentially see at Clash of Champions is anything with the 24/7 title, as I mentioned before, just so they could say that every title was
on the line. Yeah.
On the line, yeah. But nobody gives a shit about that title anymore.
No.
So, Ben, we're coming to the end, which means positive side of wrestling.
Oh, this is going to be hard. Pure title, the pure matches on ROH. I talked about it at the beginning of the show. I'll talk about it now. If you like actual more, I don't want to call it more sport, because that's not right, but like less sports entertainment-y wrestling, go check out the ROH pure stuff on their website. Go check it out. Go now.
I'm actually pulling it up real quick for my positive. I'm actually going with the NXT Gauntlet Eliminator.
Ooh, yeah, this would be a good
because here's the thing. You have Kushida, Kyle O'Reilly, Cameron Grimes, Timothy Thatcher, and Bronson Reed. Mm-hmm. All five of these guys are now being given an opportunity to earn the right to take on Finn Balor on October 4th at TakeOver.
Who do you think is winning it?
Ooh. So, my heart says Kyle O'Reilly. Because I think
your brain says.
My heart says Kyle O'Reilly.
But your brain says.
But my brain says it's probably going to be Bronson Reed. Because they've been building.
It's going to be Bronson or Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, because they've been building up both Cameron and Bronson pretty well. But, like, I really want to see Kyle. It's actually kind of funny because as these competitors have been getting announced, like, Balor has only commented on two of them, and that's Kyle O'Reilly and Timothy Thatcher. And when they announced Thatcher, they did it in a very style, a very unique way. Instead of like having like this video, he just did a text that says that actions speak louder than words. And then Finn Balor responded with, "You're right." And it's like a picture of him beating Timothy Thatcher at the last takeover. But then the other person that he spoke up about was Kyle O'Reilly. And he really put over O'Reilly. And I think, and I hate to say this, but it looks like in a way that they might be pushing Kyle into the leader role of Undisputed Era.
Yeah, I think Adam's gonna take some time off to heal up from some stuff.
Yeah. And I'm not saying they're breaking up Undisputed Era, but they're doing that transition to where people think they're gonna break up Undisputed Era. And I could see O'Reilly versus Balor for the title. And, you know, if Kyle O'Reilly were to win, which I think would be amazing.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It would be amazing. But imagine the storytelling that would then take place when Cole comes back.
Here's the very real thing. Like, the very real thing that... we have to understand, right, is the Undisputed Era haven't been heels for a very long time. At best, they've been tweeners, right? At best.
Yep.
But we talked about this on the last episode, the fact that there's a distinct lack of main event faces in NXT. I think it's time to fully turn the era face, right? So that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, you have a decent amount of heels, especially in NXT, because like when you look at what you have, it's like Damian Priest in a way is a heel. Timothy Thatcher is
heel.
Cameron Grimes is a heel.
Heel.
Reed is a face. Kushida is
face.
Face, but he's been doing some dastardly things the last couple weeks.
He's been beating up heels, so yeah. He's a face.
Yeah.
Like,
trying to think who else they got on that.
Ciampa, heel. Gargano,
heel. Balor's a tweener at this point.
You don't have many full-fledged faces.
Yeah, they need a Velveteen Dream went heel upon his return and then got destroyed by Kushida. So yeah, there's not a lot of faces. They need some faces on NXT. So that was my positive. Which is actually also taking place tonight, the Gauntlet Eliminator.
So. Yep. And we've got our second episode of Dynamite for the week happening tonight as well. For which nothing has been announced.
Because they announced everything for last night, yeah. But yeah. I'm also interested by how the match is going to work.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is that it's like two people start, and I think like every
5 minutes, I think the thing is
every 4 minutes.
Every 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well, a new competitor will enter, and the only way to be eliminated is by pinfall or submission. So I think it's definitely a really cool, unique take on the gauntlet match.
Yeah.
So, and that's tonight. I'm excited to watch that. So yeah, that has been Awesomania. Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias as I prep myself for this?
At this point, I just want to like sample this and that you can edit it into every episode. You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find my Power Rangers columns where I review seasons of Power Rangers every couple of weeks over at
TXHTHockey.com/Ben's-Journey.
You can find Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, where myself, Mike, and our friends Sasha and Brian review episodes of Power Rangers over at
txhdhockey.com/VFTG, which right or now
on the Twitter
at VFTG_PR, which right now we're doing Green with Evil Week this week.
And you can find me doing the video game thing over on
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yeah.
So with that, you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, at Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, on Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. Yes, I've gotten more active. It's great. It's fun. It's relaxing. And of course, everything for me on txhdhockey.com, and for this show specifically, /AwesomeMania. Ben, take us out, my man.
As we say every episode, guys, gals, and online pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-genus Pacific honorifics.
And until next time, we'll see you ringside.
Peace.